Cook County is known as the wrongful conviction capital of America. The National Registry of Exonerations lists 215 murder cases cleared here since 1989. Brown University sociologist Nicole Gonzalez-Van Cleve is out next week with a book about them. She writes that wrongful convictions stem from something more precarious than shoddy law enforcement. She spoke with WBEZ's Chip Mitchell.
Professor Van Cleve, you began your research with a theory that the problem behind wrongful convictions was the prevalence of false confessions. What is a false confession?
So a false confession is just admitting to a crime that you didn't do. So, of course, most people think that could never happen to them. But what they don't realize is that the police actually have techniques and ways of making it happen. There's, of course, the tacit threat of violence, but it's more about psychological manipulation, isolation, and just literally breaking people. And some of the most vulnerable victims of false confessions are children. So there's a case of Lee Hester back in the 1960s where he was profiled at school for killing his teacher, but he was learning disabled. He was very poor. And when they took him from school, they actually isolated him in a jail cell, taking his clothes, giving him a gown, taking his toys. And they used black officers to basically as lures to make sure that he felt comfortable, but then broke him. The black officers would say that the white officers are going to throw your head through that wall. You better tell them what they want you to say. And so this child, he just admitted guilt to get out of the room. And the biggest targets of these false confessions, many of them are disabled. One child was nonverbal.
Well, of those 215 exonerations in Cook County murder cases, more than half involved false confessions. But you found some of these confessions, on their face, they were preposterous. You found defendants who confessed despite solid alibis, even proof they were in police custody during the crime. And you wrote that some of the defendants were young children.
Yeah, Romar Gibson was only 7 years old, and he was a nonverbal child. In 1998, the Chicago police officers questioned him and his friend Elijah, who was only eight, and it was about a sexual assault and a horrendous murder of an 11-year-old little girl named Ryan Harris in Englewood. And at first, these officers, they treated Romar and Elijah like witnesses, but they isolated them from their families, and the lead detective was this guy named James Cassidy. He was a specialist. He held Romar's hand. He told him things like, "We're all friends here. You can tell me anything." And this nonverbal child supposedly admitted to guilt to a murder and a sex crime, which is absolutely absurd because it was years before he would hit puberty and he had these profound disabilities. But the boys faced a murder charge. And it wasn't for weeks until the lab analysis confirmed that semen was found on the little girl's clothes. It couldn't possibly have been these prepubescent boys.
You kept studying wrongful convictions in Cook County, and your hypothesis that the main problem was false confessions, it didn't actually seem to be holding up. You wrote that one case in particular altered your thinking.
Yes, absolutely. It was the George Jones case. This was a black middle-class child. He was a teenager known as Bookworm because he was so studious. And he kind of looked like, you know, Clark Kent. He was just, you know, the kind of kid that wore a tweed coat and glasses. And his father was an officer. His father was a Chicago police. And when they didn't have a suspect in a murder, the Chicago police pinned the case on George Jones. They had exonerating evidence, and what they did was they actually buried that evidence so it couldn't be found. And so this was an egregious type of, almost like a bureaucracy that kept this wrongful conviction system moving at a really efficient rate so they could wrongfully convict more and more people. And this case also revealed something else, which was that race was a factor in who was being targeted for wrongful conviction. George had all the middle class protections. He was an honor student, a track star. His dad was a Chicago police officer. And what you see in these hidden documents was that the police were still going after George, even though they had enormous amounts of evidence showing he was not the perpetrator. And what's worse is in those secret files, you can see the Chicago police disparaging black victims and black families.
That's Brown University's Nicole Gonzalez-Van Cleve. Her book on Cook County wrongful convictions is called Crime Fictions.